Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the International Black Summit Radio Show. I'm your host, John Thomas, and tonight we're going to be talking about a few of the distinctions that we discuss at the International Black Summit. We discuss at our events, at during our programs, our annual conferences, et cetera. I'm expecting someone to call in to have this dialogue, and they hadn't called in yet. So if you're listening and you'd like to participate, please call 646-716-9827. 646-716-9827. So until I have a caller call in, the distinction I think I would like to cover, unless someone has something else they like to share, would be the power of completion. The power of completion, the power of closure. You know, during this time of year, a lot of us make New Year's resolutions. You know, it's the time where we think about what we want to have happen this year, what we're definitely going to do this year. I'm going to lose those 15 pounds. If it's the last thing that I do, I'm going to get my money situation together. I'm going to be a better spouse. I'm going to find me a man, or I'm going to find me a woman. You know, we make all kinds of resolutions, which I think is a very, very powerful way of being, because you create the world in which you live. At least that's what I believe. And you create it in your thinking and your speaking. However, oftentimes when people make resolutions, the resolutions have fizzled out by the end of the month. Has that happened to you? You know, you make a resolution going into the new year, and then you get all excited, you get a gym membership, you start going to the gym, you go Monday, you go Tuesday, you go Wednesday, you go Thursday, you go Friday, you're excited, you've done a whole week. And then the next Monday comes along and you go Monday, but something happens and you don't go Tuesday. And then you find a way to, you know, get up enough energy to go on Wednesday. But, you know, there's some things happening at work that you need to address, so you don't go Thursday. And then you don't go Friday, and now you're starting to get off track a little. So you make a promise to yourself that I will go the next Monday. And then what happens is, hold on a second. Hello? Hi. I thought you were calling in. Okay. That was my caller. I'm sorry that I had to go away there for a second. So as I was saying, you're starting to muster up a little more energy, and then you don't make it that Monday, and then you don't make it the next Monday, and then you don't make it the next Monday, and now it's the beginning of February, and you're back in the pattern again of not going to the gym like you said you were, and your resolution is out the window. Well, I'm going to go over this one more time when Lenar calls in. However, the thing I will offer is that why don't we take an opportunity to put the things in the past back in the past. Now, what does that mean? Lenar, are you there? Somebody's there.
Yeah, me, Deborah.
Hey, Deborah.
Hey there, John. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful. You know, there's a space on my switchboard that has a blank space. It's supposed to be a number there, and I just clicked on it, just, you know, just wondering.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was you listening in, huh?
Yep.
All right. So are you going to participate?
Yeah, that's why I called in.
Well, wonderful. So have you heard what I said so far?
Yep, I've just been here listening.
Okay, good. Has that ever happened to you?
What?
With the New Year's resolution.
Oh, please, every year. That's why I don't make them anymore.
Right.
No, I really don't. I try to make my resolutions like during the year or whenever it is that it feels right, but not necessarily around the New Year.
Wow.
It seems like a setup.
Exactly. You know, so what I was wanting to talk about tonight, you know, like before people rush off to make their New Year's resolution, you know, why not take an opportunity to actually complete your year?
Mm.
And I kind of like what you're saying. I mean, I don't know if you're doing this on purpose, but I imagine when it's right for you to create a resolution, whenever you do it throughout the year. You've probably got to some place or some state of completion about something that you're now in a space to actually create a resolution.
Yeah, and I mean, I might set a target date for myself that makes sense inside of what I'm up to. Like, you know, over the summer, my goal was to quit smoking cigarettes. And so I decided, and I was having someone who was going to be staying with me during the summer, so
mm-hmm.
I decided that my quit date would be around the time that they came, but you know, I had been doing all of the things that I needed to do up until that point.
Exactly.
But that was one of those things that had been New Year's resolutions that I never kept.
Right.
And this time I did that in the end of May, so I'm now June, July, August, whatever this month is, like 6 months or so now.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, but I'm clear that it's because the time that I did it, it was when it really resonated for me, you know?
Right,
what I mean?
And
where I could create a system to support myself in keeping that resolution.
Exactly. Someone else just joined us. Who's on the call?
Catherine Thomas.
Hi, Catherine Thomas. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful. Okay, well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the power of completion. You know, tonight is only scheduled to be a half-hour show. I don't know how much we'll get done in that time period. but when you hear people talk about completing something, or they have completed something, or I'm incomplete with you, or any of those words you hear around the transformational circles, what comes up for you? Either one, you can jump in.
Go ahead, Catherine.
Nothing's coming for me.
All right, well, let me ask it another way. See, I know my wife and I, sometimes every year, every 18 months, might be 23 months, it's not like an exact time. It comes a space where we complete on our relationship. And what I mean by complete on our relationship is we take an opportunity to acknowledge who we've been being, you know, acknowledge what we said we were going to do, what we did, and what we said we were going to do and we didn't do. And, you know, when I was being a butt about something or a complain about something, I take an opportunity to acknowledge that. And she does the same. But we don't do it like we know how it's going to go, because we really don't know. When we're in this process of completion, everything is up in the air. It could be complete like over. It could be complete like we're just completing how we've been being with each other. You know, it could be complete like what's there for me to say and what's there for her to say. And sometimes this takes a few days. Sometimes it takes a few weeks. However, at the end of the process, we're usually left with a blank slate to create our relationship again. And I'm real clear that when we do that, it really is like creating, it really is like being in a new relationship with her. When I'm able to get all of that stuff, all of my little side comments, side thoughts that I have, all the stuff I don't like, when I get it all out, as well as all the things that I love, when I get it all out, I'm actually in relationship with another person. And so we was talking about resolutions and how people create resolutions for themselves, but very soon after find themselves what I would call disempowered or, you know, don't have the same level of passion around them. An opportunity here is to look at, well, what would be possible if we actually completed our year? So does that help a little?
Yeah,
a little bit, but I'm not sure exactly what you're asking us.
Well, what I'm asking you is, what do you know, what would you like to share around completion, being complete, getting complete?
You're asking us to get more clear on completion as one of the distinctions.
Yes.
Okay. I got what you're asking me.
Okay. And so I'm not asking, like, to teach anybody anything. I'm just now asking just what's there for you, because different things mean different things. I mean, different things mean different things to different people. So I'd just like to hear what you had to say about this particular distinction called complete or being complete.
One of the big things that happened to me last year that has to do with this, an old friend from many years, and he's old also, asked me to do something for him, and this was going to be a project for which I would be paid, so we were entering into a different kind of relationship than we'd always had. I didn't really want to do it, and so I kind of just listened a long time, and eventually he said that he would pay this enormous amount of money to get it done, and that got my attention, and so then I said I would come up with a proposal. Well, he said, okay. But he didn't really mean that he didn't really mean what he was saying. He was just trying to talk me into it.
So
We really had this money conversation and this difference of opinion, and then he just quit taking my calls and wrote me a nasty letter. And I was not complete with him, meaning I wanted to go back to the wonderful long relationship we had had for years. I knew I wasn't complete. And I kept writing him and calling, and of course he wouldn't take my calls. And this went on for months. And I heard on one of the shows that Lenar had what to do with this. And so I put that little four sentences, I am responsible, thank you, forgive me, together. And you know, the next day I called him and he answered the phone, hello, baby. And we just put it all behind us.
Wow.
I wouldn't be complete with him like that. I just wouldn't.
And how did you two put it all behind you?
When he said, hello, baby, I just knew that, you know, everything was okay. So he said just a little few references to maybe he had been too hard on me, and I just you know, we didn't talk too much about it. We went on with what's happening now and what's been going on. And, you know, we just went on like, but there was a little completion conversation to how we had gotten completely off track.
And, I got you.
And I took responsibility for, you know, jumping at the money.
Right, right. That's what I was getting ready to say. It sounded like there was something you owned about it.
Mm-hmm.
Something about who you were being about it. And once you own who you were being about it and communicated that.
Right. It didn't start with him not taking my calls and not going for my proposal. It started with, I am responsible. He dangled too much money in front of my face, and he didn't mean what he was saying. He was just talking.
Right. I got you. All right, wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing, and congratulations on having that relationship restored in your life.
Oh, yes. I am blessed with that relationship.
Well, good. Anything for you, Deborah?
No, not right now. Thank you. No.
Okay, good. All right, looks like we have another caller. Let's find out who it is. Go ahead, caller.
This is Edward in Atlanta.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, sir? You all right?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Come along, sir. Ready for the new year.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Have you been following along in the conversation?
To some degree. Not too much, but to some degree.
All right. Anything that you want to share, contribute, or question you want to ask?
Not right now. Not at this time. Just looking to get back in the flow of things. That's all.
Just getting back in the flow of things?
Yes, sir.
All right. Wonderful. Well, welcome to the call. We were actually just talking about the power of completion. You familiar? Hello?
Yes, I can say that.
Okay. And Catherine was just sharing about how a situation happened in her life that started to go sour, had actually gone sour without, you know, recreating the whole thing. And then there was something about who she was being that she owned, that she said that she was responsible. What were the exact words, Catherine? Do you remember?
Oh, I really didn't want to do what he was asking, but then he went on and said that he would pay all this money for having it done. That, you know, that got my attention, and it was too much money, and he didn't really mean what he was saying. He wasn't
right.
Pay that much. I was responsible because I got turned on by the money.
You got turned on, but there was something you said, something like, I'm responsible. Something, please forgive me, or there's something you did as a way of acknowledging that for yourself. Do you remember what that was?
I am responsible. Forgive me. Thank you. It's finished.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, to me that the challenge with that at time that it arises, sometimes it takes two people to do that, you know, more so than not. You know, but there may be times, you know, arguably where people just may be so pissed off, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Even though I can say something that may add value, or I may want to try to provide some healing, but something that you felt I'd say that didn't sit well with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes deal with that, and I, you know, arguably, because I pretty much would kind of come out, tend to kind of come out, but I do try to use diplomacy sometimes, and how about talking what I say sometimes, but I think, you know, sometimes it doesn't always land that way. Sometimes there are times that, you know, let's have a conversation. I guess I want to be grown enough to sit down and have a conversation and talk about it, discuss it, you know, to air it out or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But people may not be open to doing that, which don't allow you to have a closure. You don't allow that.
What I heard on Lenar's show was that I just had to have that conversation as though he were here. He wasn't answering the phone. There was no way I could have it with him. But I just had it. And he answered the phone, and, hey, it was over.
That's
I had
amazing.
It in my consciousness.
That's amazing. We actually have Lana on the phone. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful.
And yeah, I didn't know if I was online or not. I was attempting to assist you with the with those four statements, which is I am responsible, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you from Ho'oponopono. That's what Catherine was referring to.
That's it.
And this is not, Catherine didn't have the conversation with the gentleman. This
right.
was something Catherine had said, you know, to herself, or better said to the universe. Like
exactly.
You know, like, so this whole thing about completion, it, you know, at least in my world, is a personal phenomenon. It's an over here phenomenon. Like, when you get complete about something, you're able to clear out something for yourself that gives you room to have power in, you know, the areas of your life that are important to you. And what I heard and what Catherine was sharing is that after she did it and she called him, you know, it appeared to be miraculously he was available. You know, but he could have been available, and she could have still been being how she had been being before.
Right.
And even though he answered the call, he may have not continued the call. So there was something available in Catherine getting complete for herself.
Right. Something shifted in her such that her world, her outside world, shifted along with it.
And I think it was, I am responsible.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
To what Ed was saying, which is just a little bit different.
And what was Ed saying?
No, I was just coming from a standpoint that there may be times where, you know, in closure, you know, you try to have conversation with, you know, the other parties, something could have been said or feelings could have been hurt or whatever that is. And sometimes, you know, you may not have the opportunity to have that conversation, you know, to, you know, just talk about things, discuss things, sort them out.
And I can get that. And, you know, that right now in our culture, how we hold it is that where the completion and the closure is out there. And what no out there and Ho'oponopono and the easiest way, Mabel Katz, even Buddhists, all of them are saying that, and Jesus Christ said it too, you know, it's position, heal thyself. Where the work is inside. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody out there. Change my thinking, my world changes. So that's, you know, that's what's available through that process.
Wonderful. Now, the thing I want to say is, first of all, there is no right way to have this conversation. There's no right way to get complete, be complete. I'm not saying that you have to follow a particular formula. This call is actually an opportunity for us to kind of distinguish it for ourselves and just share what we see about it, our experiences of using this way of looking at life to empower ourselves. So I noticed someone else joined the call down in the 678, I believe that's Atlanta area. Go ahead, caller, you're on air.
This is Sharon Bynum listening in on what you're saying.
Okay, Sharon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, John? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year to you, too. So who else have a comment, an insight, or something they would like to share? And before you respond, I just want to let you know, we scheduled this call for 30 minutes initially. So we'll go off the air in about 5 minutes, but that doesn't mean that we can no longer, you know, that we have to get off the phone. We can continue this conversation for at least a few more minutes if it gets juicy. So who likes share?
So, John, this is Lenar, and I'm so glad you said what you said. You know, there are many ways to do pretty much anything there is to do on this planet, and know out there in Ho'oponopono are ways. And they are just ways that seem to provide me the results that I want in my life, so I continue to use them. And then there are a whole bunch of other tools that I use too. So I was just glad that you said that's a way. That's it. It's a way.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, from my own personal experience, this whole notion of getting complete has been, really been powerful in my life. I was sharing earlier, you know, kind of briefly about what happens with my wife and I. But, you know, being in a relationship with another person, at least in my case, has gotten to be sometimes really challenging. You know, I notice that there's some things that I like, that I don't like, some ways of being that I have a complaint about my wife, I have a complaint about myself, and with all my training and development, if you will, you know, they're still there. And sometimes I just get fed up to, like, my wit's end. Like, I'm saying to myself, I'm moving, this is it, it ain't going to work no more. I know it's been 14 years, but it's not going to be 15 because I can't take it. Well, over the years, we would have, like, a culmination of the events happening, breakdowns, and we would come to this place where we really look to see who we are in our relationship. And approaching it from the power of completion, like taking the time to share what worked, what doesn't work, what you expected of me that I didn't do, what I did do and I wanted to be acknowledged for, and her doing the same thing. And sometimes we do it with each other. Sometimes it's done with other people. Sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes it only takes a few days. But at the end of it, you know, we're clear that prior to the process, we no longer want to be in the relationship we're in. Like, we're clear and it's up for grabs. And at the end of it, I'm clear I'm in a new relationship with her. You know, so I've been married for 14 years, and I've been involved with Lisa for 17, and I still feel like I'm dating a lot of times. I still feel like we're just getting started, you know, and when we get it together, we'll move to the next level. And I find that really fascinating. So that's how it has made an impact for me, just being able to stand in the conversation and stand in my commitment and then, like, go through the process.
That is so fabulous, John. So I heard a couple of things in what you said. One of them was what you said, this notion of completion and how it served you in your life. And yet what I heard in the what you do in completion is a couple of things. One, you make a declaration. You know, had enough, not doing this anymore, you know, and then you clear. You and Lisa actually do a clearing. You know, you say whatever there is to say. And then you set you look to see, you know, what it is you want to do, and you set a new intention. So, I mean, those are the things that I heard. And I also heard that. And I don't know if you said this exactly, and please forgive the background noise. As you know, John, I'm on my way to the airport, so if you hear whooshing noise, please forgive me. But the other thing I heard in what you said was complaint, and I don't know if you said it, but I heard it later, but, like, there's a commitment behind that complaint.
Right.
So my sense is that you probably know that, of course you, because you're in the summit. And that's one of our distinctions, that, you know, the flip side of any complaint is a huge commitment. And so I gather that you probably begin to live into the commitment, to really focus on that, pay attention to that.
Yeah. Actually, it's the commitment that gives me the willingness to have the conversation.
Okay, great.
Yeah, because I got to tell you, it seems to be much easier to just complain about it and just walk away from it. At least that's how it looks in my mind, but it's my commitment and our commitment to our relationship that has us go through what we go through when we're clearing. And then when we're clearing, we're crying, we're shouting, people are stomping off mad, we're talking shit about each other, excuse me, on the air.
So I don't know if you want to let people know we're at, like, you know, 30 minutes past, if you want to say anything.
Well, to the people who are still listening, they're going to be able to listen. So we're actually off the air. That's why I said what I said earlier.
Okay.
But we can continue because anybody that's not listening live, they're going to hear the playback.
Okay.
If there's anything you want to say.
Well, yeah, because next week's show, we're going to have an interview with one of the International Black Summit leadership.
As a matter of fact, she's on the call tonight.
All right.
Who's that leader that you're talking about? Yeah, we're talking about you.
Okay.
Yes, I'm in the process of scheduling several of those. You know, people are beginning to get excited about what they're hearing and their participation in some of the shows, whether it's this show or I Know Out There show. So it's, you know, really gratifying that people are beginning to want to participate more.
Exactly. Wonderful. Any other comments, thoughts, suggestions, insights around being complete, getting complete, this distinction, the power of completion?
Well, I do want to say that when I was pointing out how it looked to me like the process, I'm glad you said, you know, that the first thing you do is, like, you listen inside of that complaint for what the commitment is, and then you move.
Right.
And then you move. So when it may be that whatever there is to show up, you know, because of that shows up. It's kind of like when you decide which car you want to buy, that car starts showing up all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's the same way, like when you listen to complaint and you get the commitment and you begin to, like, focus on that and, you know, choose to have that, then other things to match that begin to show up.
Exactly. And, you know, for me, you know, and I said it, but I don't know if people really get it. When I say it's all up in the air,
yes,
it really is up in the air. We really don't know that at the end of this process if we're going to be together physically or legally or any of those ways. We know we will always be friends. We know we will always be in some relationship. We just don't know what it looks like. The other thing we don't do is we don't complete the create. So we don't already know how it's going to turn out. We don't already have a vision or have created what we wanted when we start this process, because that occurs to me like in order to. So we would be completing in order to get somewhere, and we don't do that. We used to do that, but we stopped doing that. We actually just started concentrating on saying what we needed to say and being who we had to be complete with who we've been and what we've done up until that point. And at the end of all of that, when it's all been said, or at least all the major components and major parts have been said, then we look to see. You know, we don't even create it. We just look to see and look for what's already there. And I think that's, like, really powerful, because we used to complete, like, we needed, you know, we thought we knew something. So we needed to get complete, we can create something. And all we would do is create mischief, because there'd be a complaint as soon as we create what we could create, I already got to complain about it, about how we ain't going to do it, about how it's not going to work. And, you know, we used to create things like relationship for that people would die for. I was like, I don't like that. I don't know if I want to be in a relationship that people would die for. I don't want to die for it.
I hear you.
You know, why would I even want to create that? And so we would just get into a whole other series of arguments about that. So we just started to complete, you know, a lot like how we do it in the International Black Summer. We listen. And we listen. And we listen for what life is giving us. And then we go with that. So that's a lot
like
of how go ahead.
Yeah, I like what you said. Like you complete, not like in order to, not to get somewhere, but you complete in this moment, period.
Exactly. And I'll share another one with you about, you know, like my business life. You know, for so a lot of years, I've been doing business consulting, business coaching, and internet marketing and things of that. And I enjoy it to a degree, but it just, something just wasn't there, totally there for me. Not like there was anything wrong with that. Something was missing. But every year, I would still try to make it work, knowing that there's something missing about it, but not knowing what it is, I would still keep trying to make it work. And every year I start off, oh, it's a brand new year. You know, I'm going to do really well. This is what I'm going to do with my clients and so on and so forth. And somewhere about March, all the fizzle is gone. So this year, I actually completed it for myself. I actually looked at what I did that worked, what I did that didn't work, you know, the impact it's had on my family. You know, and apologize for who I was being, when I wasn't being responsible or accountable. And in the process of all of that, I have actually moved out of the Triad area of North Carolina, which was the Greensboro High Point area. I've been there since 1981. And I had been planning to move every year after 1986. And so this year, I actually moved. I moved to, as my mom would call it, the great town of Spring Lake. And I'm taking on a position to being her director of marketing for their real estate company.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
Thank you. And I get an opportunity to now be with my mother, to spend time with my nieces and nephews, to take what I've learned over the years and apply it specifically to a business. And it's so exciting now. And they're so excited for me being there. And that wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't been willing to complete. For myself.
Well, I'm glad you took the step and did what there was for you to do.
Me too. So, Ed, I heard a
It's like interesting, just, you know, just the level or the depth, if you will, you know, that it can take you, you know, I guess I'm just real, real big on concept. Just looking at the concept, how it applies, the different areas of life and situation that may arise, and it's just a concept.
All right, good. Any more comments, questions? How we're looking on time?
Probably 4 to 1.
All right. Well, if there's not any more comments, questions, or insights.
John,
well,
this is Sharon.
Okay, Sharon.
I appreciate what you're saying, especially about the part on completing on your relationship, because I'm always open to, like, how do you keep a relationship going? And that's a great way of doing that. And what I'm present to now in the moment in my life is my relationship with God and spirit and trusting God to be able to provide for me. So I've been serious living in a period of uncertainty and watching many blessings unfold in ways that I never could have imagined. But out of your conversation and y'all's conversation, definitely the point of, as Dinar, is that your new name?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Hey, Sharon.
Change your thinking changes your life, and that's so true. And I am in the inquiry of belief. What is belief in the spiritual realm? And I see what's possible for me is using what I'm hearing today to complete my relationship as I've known it with God.
Wow.
And to be open to hearing how I can experience God in a new way, which is a long time journey because it's all about strengthening that muscle really in your own mind in the way that you think about everything. It's kind of spiritual warfare that goes on in your own mind that makes the reflection of what you see in your world. So I can use these tools to complete on the way I've known my relationship to be with God and spirit.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And that's what you said brought something to mind. Robin Randolph said it to me a long time ago about something else I was thinking about, and she said, maybe you have it a way that it is. And so what I hear and what you're saying is that you've come to a space that you kind of are in the inquiry, like maybe you have God a way that it is. So it's a good thing. You know, you're in that inquiry. I think that's that.
Great. Anyone else?
Well, I was wondering if you might want to, like, recap some of the distinctions that were mentioned on this call. And what I noticed, I have to say this, what I noticed is I do what I notice a lot of other people do. Like, I think it ought to be done, and I'm putting it over there for you to do. You know, like, that may not even be possible for you. Because you're
right.
Asking, you know, what do you see? And that's that projection thing, which is so subtle. And so I've been laughing because the other time you caught me and said, well, no, maybe you'd like to tell people at, you know, at 30 minutes past the hour. And I was like,
right.
Yeah, it was me. So I wasn't here for, like, the first 15 minutes or so, so I'm not clear what distinctions got mentioned there. But what I am clear about is clearing, completion, no out there. What else?
Well, before you go on, because it might...
Complaint, commitment.
Mm-hmm. The thing we did talk about, I don't know if you would call them the distinctions, but we were talking about resolution and how at the beginning of the year, you know, it's kind of like in our culture to make New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as the process goes, they typically fizzle pretty quickly. And then Deborah was sharing that she no longer makes New Year's resolutions. Even though she still makes resolutions, but she makes them later on in the year when it's like a fit for her.
Mm-hmm.
When there's, you know, an opportunity to really make a resolution, like a resolution, like I am resolving that this is so.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to put that in because that's what happened before. Then we start talking about the power of completion.
That's great. I'm not one to do resolutions at the
beginning of the calendar year. What I do look on my birthday and look to see are there one or two things that I might like to resolve then. So I do in that way. And then, as Deborah said, at later on, at points throughout the year, something may occur and I'll make a resolution. Like my participation, how I'm being inside of the summit this year is out of a resolution. So that I made.
Right.
That I would participate where, how I wanted to do it. So participate in a way that left me feeling joyous, like that.
But you know, I would argue too. I think that the idea of making resolutions during the year, you know, it's kind of like saying a carrot. You know how they say you take a carrot and put it in front of a donkey, and the donkey tries to follow the actual carrot.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear, you know, I think of New Year's resolution, that's what that is. But I think that in doing that, I think it's better to look at the, again, you know, the word concept on what it is that you're trying to do. Like, I know, like for me, I'm in the process of trying to, you know, detoxify my system. So whether it's beginning of the year or whether it's middle of the year, here's something I know that I need to do that's going to be good for me. So I guess behind my commitment for my health, that transcends time.
Right.
People hear resolution is only one time of the year. When what you're doing, if it's going to be good for you, it should always transcend time.
Well, that's a way to look at it, and that's what I say about that. And if that's the way that works for you, hey.
You said the word you used, was it transient time or transcend time?
It means transcends. It means bigger than time.
Oh, it's bigger than time. So it can happen at any time.
Yeah, but I know health, whether it be beginning of the year, middle of the year, you know, that's something I need to be conscious of, you know. And then because of the importance of health, there's no time limit on that. There's always a good thing just to do and learn. Or when you say, well, I want to make X number $1,000 this year or whatever, but if your commitment is to being prosperous, that's bigger than having the time. Now I got, like, they may be thinking, okay, my life better do by the first, you know, you have your, what I'm going to argue, call my normal thing. But when you look at what resolutions are, well, I'm going to stop smoking because that's about health. Whether it's the first of the year or not, I need to get off smoking because it's not good for me, and that's more important than the time, than the attachment of time.
And Ed, that's a great place to look at it. And I don't know that everyone looks at it the way you do from a health perspective. You know, it would be great and perfect, but I'm questioning, you know, if everyone looks at it the way you do, because there's so many smokers out there who know it's impacting their health, who know they're getting cancer from it, who are, you know, in between each puff. Some people are even in the hospital, you know, on respirators. So I'm just saying, it makes perfect sense what you're saying. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I'm just saying that's a way to do it.
I'm Cliff, and everyone don't think like me. So
Well, that's the beauty of having this call, because everybody don't think like you, and there are some people out there who do. And there are some people who think like other people, which is, you know, what I think is great about having an open dialogue, because different things impact different people different ways. I remember earlier, Deborah was talking about that she had, I don't know if the word is committed or resolved, to stop smoking, and then she planned it around a particular time period during the summer, and hasn't smoked since then, which I think is phenomenal. And since you guys are talking about smoking, and I said I want to quit, and that's a lie, you know. It is, you know. But maybe it's the truth that I want to, but actually doing it is another story. And I got to tell you, I'm challenged by it. I actually am challenged by it. And what I got and what Ed was saying was, I don't know if you were saying this, but what I heard was, if I made the context my health, if I made the context something bigger, then being a person who smoked really wouldn't be consistent with my commitment to my health. And that I can hear, and that I can have a little more power in than just stop smoking, because that hadn't been working, if I tell the truth. Every time I buy a pack, because I'm now down to buying packs at a time, every time I buy a pack, it's like, is this the last one? No. But sometimes it's like, I think this is the last pack, until I'm down to 3 cigarettes. And then I go get another one. Huh?
Very interesting, because I'm actually glad that, like you said, it's an open dialogue, and people, you know, Ed shared what he shared. But you demonstrated what I was going to say, that there was possibly somebody listening who the conversation, you know, that Ed was giving was for them, and including, you know, in addition to himself, they're here for that conversation that he gave. So and you were one of those people.
And so what I'm hearing, since we started with completion, that it probably would work for me to have some type of completion dialogue about this. Maybe. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really get that.
Because for me, it's like part of it is, yes, being standing inside of your health. But the other part of it is acknowledging that, you know, when you develop an addiction to something, whether it's caffeine, nicotine, or whatever, it's very difficult to break. The definition of addiction is when you continue doing something even though you know it's not good for you, because you don't quite have the willpower to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like acknowledging that, for me anyway, is the first step towards not making myself wrong and seeking whatever help and support that I need in being able to overcome it.
Wow.
Yeah. This is
Pretty cool, Deborah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even though I was thinking about completing, that wasn't right there to acknowledge that I have an addiction.
So
I have an addiction to nicotine.
This is a sharing, and on what Deborah said along with what Ed said, I mean, I think Deborah hit it on the nose, because I was seeing it as by transcending time in terms of health. And for me, I'm looking at changing my eating habits and working on cutting out all these foods that I've been conditioned to love to eat, like meat and shellfish and all these things that I'm now learning they're not good for us on a very huge level. But it's a transition. So if your transcending time is not like something you got to get to right now, next month, 3 weeks, a year, because sometimes you're not able to achieve those results in those time frames and you're left feeling invalidated or what's wrong with you. So by transcending time and the commitment is to health as a bigger picture, to me it gives you the freedom to be empowered to not be stopped if you're not successful at the first attempt, like you're sharing, John, or the
Wonderful.
Next attempt, or, you know, I ate that steak yesterday and I was supposed to do it, you know, and I got a refrigerator food that I ain't supposed to be eating right now. But, you know, I don't have to stop and give up. I can still choose to keep the commitment. I guess somebody said the carrot as a worthy goal, with success is a worthy goal, working a version of success is a worthy goal worth working towards. That's what I would have. And then I can, in the conversation of complete, I can choose to complete on my need and desire to have these foods or cigarettes or whatever as I used to, and be open for what unfolds for me to do newly.
But keeping in mind, when having the commitment, you acknowledge that they are additions. And because you have the commitment, I guess to look at it in that way, you set, I guess, in how you look at something sometimes changes how you react to it. So, in the same regard as someone who, like you said, who smokes, coming from that of a health standpoint, you know, okay, I know here's the need. Regardless of how I feel, how it makes me feel, I know physically, you know, it's not good, and there may be something I'm going to have to deal with, whether it be the addiction or whatever that is. But when you are committed to something, you do whatever it takes if your commitment is there. So it's trying to find ways to engage your commitment. So whatever you need to do, you'll do. If that means jump on the passive, if that means you go to Smokers Anonymous, whatever that is. So, yes, you do acknowledge, because you can't fix it unless you acknowledge what's going on, what's stopping you. Now that I know what's stopping you, because my new commitment is, right, what my concerns are, I can still do what I need to do.
Maybe, because the thing is that inside, even having a commitment to change isn't in and of itself going to get you there. It's like, and the change may take a much longer time than you expect it to, you know. And when I think about it right now, just taking it outside of this conversation and looking at where we are in the national elections, you know, everybody's claiming that they're an agent for change, at least on the Democratic side, you know. And the question is, fine, maybe you are, but what is your definition of that, and what's the path that you're going to take? And is it one that's going to be, you know, like the Bush path, where we're going to make changes, but y'all don't have to give up anything, you don't have to change anything, you don't have to sacrifice anything? Or is it a different kind of change that's going to look for partnership on the part of all people to move in the direction that we're going? And I think that, you know, one of the places where words can be both helpful and problematic is that we have a particular way of looking at things based on the words that we're using. And yet for me, one of the things that this conversation provides is an opportunity to expand the breadth of the way in which we hold things, the way in which we frame things, the way in which we define them, so that it can encompass both what we've always known it to be as well as what it's moving into.
I love that you said that, Jeff. Because as I was listening about the addiction things and the smoking, because many of you probably don't know, but I used to smoke somewhere around, I started when I was 19, and I quit one day when I was 23. Something happened, I had a cold, took a drag, it burned something in there, and that was my last cigarette. Never had a desire after that. It went even to the point of, someone asked me, we were going to the store to pick up something, asked me to pick them up some cigarettes. I forgot they even asked me to pick them up. So, you know, and I didn't have the conversation about this is, you know, bad health, you know, thing for my health. It was just, that's what happened. But in listening to this conversation, I have an addiction, you know, to food. And so I'm listening to this, and what I heard, what I saw possible for myself, because, you know, I know all the things to do, and I go through them, and sometimes I do lose weight and gain it back, one of those yo-yo people. But what I heard in this conversation possible for myself is to look at addiction like it's the complaint, and look on the other side of that addiction to see what the commitment is. So I'm committed to something every time I follow that addiction. You know, and what I saw was that I'm committed to feeling peaceful or calm or satisfied. You get what I'm saying? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, you know, that's like a new way of looking something for me. So that's what this conversation has provided for me. Like a way to look at, a way to look differently, you know, and I think that will provide me something. As Ed was talking about the commitment, because I'm committed to something every time I overeat. I'm committed to something every time I don't exercise. You know, I'm committed to something. And maybe by looking at what it is I'm committed to when I do those actions, I can, it'll provide some opening for me. That's as far as I got. And I just want to say, you know, share that with you and say thank you. You know, that's what I got for myself out of this conversation.
Wonderful. Thank
well,
you.
Well, that's great. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody because it's Sunday, 9 o'clock, and The Wire is premiering. And for those of you who know me.
Well, on that note, I'm going to also complete this radio show. You guys like this format? Is this a show we should do again?
Yeah, I think.
I'm over here laughing because he's committed to doing this the first week of every month anyway. So what you talking about, John?
Well, you know, on the message you said tune in and tell us what you think. So I'm checking it out.
Okay, I got it.
For me.
All right, good. So the first Sunday of every month, we'll have this kind of show.
All right.
Sounds good. This kind of
show being defined as what? Because I'm new to this.
I don't have a name for it yet. All right, so on that note, I bid you all adieu. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, John Thomas, for hosting.
Thank you for hosting.
You're very welcome, and tune in next week when they have the conversation with one of the leaders of the International Black Summit, Deborah Small. And I'll see you guys.
Next week. Deborah, it is next week, or is it the 20th?
Yes, I'm good next week.
Great.
Okay.
So she's confirmed live on the air. Everybody heard you.
Yes.
All right.
All right,
and
folks.
I'll be hosting. Your
okay, good.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for your contribution to me. I appreciate it.
All right. Everybody, have a good night.
Okay, good night, all.
Good night.